One thing I just want to share real quick is God is in this place and he can do anything. He is really, really, really awesome. And so that worship was incredible. It was such, oh boy, what a great, 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 great morning. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Moms rock, moms rule. You guys are incredible. What you're able to do, you're multitasking, your stamina. I remember there was a week when Sarah was sick and it wasn't really that great, and the kids had to stay home and I was taking care of them, and the wheels were coming off it because I was kind of at the helm, and I remember thinking, boy, no wonder she never answers my texts. It was such a busy week. Moms are incredible. God bless you. We're so thankful for all of you. And we are, as David has referenced, we are in the thick of getting things ready for our Game Changers VBS coming up in a few short weeks. And I want to both piggyback on Pastor David's awesome message from last week, as well as share with you a little bit about the heart and vision for this year's Game Changers VBS. Now, Psalm 127 tells us that children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And for those of you who know me, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. I love arrows. I think arrows are so cool. They really, really are. This is a throwback from our very first Game Changers VBS, in which we had some arrows hanging up from the ceiling. It was so cool. And arrows, I'm going to keep it up here. Arrows are powerful. They really, when they were introduced to warfare for the first time, you were able to defeat the enemy at a distance. Arrows changed the nature of the battle. And in the same way, children change the nature of the spiritual battle. Children are powerful. But like arrows, they're only powerful when they get shot, when they get released. Now, that doesn't mean kids getting shot out of their homes, but what it does mean is that they get released into their identities and destinies as God's children now. That's the thing I love about God so much. He is the God of right now. There's a future. He gives us a future and a hope, and that's really awesome. But he also gives us so much right now, and that is so true for children. Why? Because the faith of a child is so powerful. It's the prayer of faith that brings healing. It's the prayer of faith that moves mountains. And kids, they get that better than adults, because it's not the prayer of eloquence. It's not the prayer of proper doctrine or theological understanding. It's the prayer of faith. And kids pray the most beautiful, powerful, simple prayers. I've seen three-year-olds sit, just lay hands on someone and say, "Pain, go away in Jesus' name. Bye-bye." And it goes. I mean, just incredible testimonies like that. And so talking about, you know, a child getting released, I want to give you, there are many examples, many testimonies I could give you, but this one in particular really speaks to me. There was a dad, and he was pumping gas, obviously at the gas station, and his daughter was in the car with him as he was pumping the gas, and he saw a friend who was also filling up his car, and they exchanged, said hello and how they're doing. And so the dad's friend shared that next week he was going in for shoulder surgery. And he talked about that a little bit, and then dad got back into the car and started driving off. And the 8-year-old daughter at this point says, "Daddy, I think God wants me to pray for that man." And so the dad turns around, and they come back into the gas station. They find his friend, and the daughter gets out of the car, and she prays over the man. Nothing earth-shattering happens. But she prayed. She was obedient to what God told her to do. And so they end up leaving the gas station. They go home, and then the following week, the dad gets a letter from his friend, which says, "What your daughter did for me last week, I have never experienced. I needed surgery on my shoulder, and now I don't."
Amen.
Yeah. My shoulder is completely healed. Now listen to this. "My family and I believed in Jesus, but we didn't believe in healings. Now we do." Yeah, that 8-year-old girl took down a stronghold of unbelief because a dad released his arrow into the battle. Children are powerful. They're like arrows. And when that verse was written, archers didn't go to Walmart to buy an arrow that had been mass-produced in a factory. They fashioned their own arrows. They would select a branch and then carve it and shape it into an arrow, making sure it would fly straight and hit its target. There was an intimacy and an intentionality between the archer and the arrow. In 2017, at our very first VBS, we built our entire theme around this truth. We let the kids know that they're arrows. We call them that and continue to refer them to them as arrows. And you've heard in a lot of the video announcements and things like that, we call our small group leaders archers, and we call the small groups themselves quivers. And we call each of the 4 main age groups tribes, and we call the leaders of those tribes chiefs. And we call the entirety of Game Changers VBS Impact Nation. But the point that I'm getting at is that we didn't know what to call that first VBS. And then one day I'm clearing off my desk and I'm thinking about this and I'm praying how children are like arrows, how arrows change the battle, they change the game, they're game changers. When God clearly said, "That's it. That's what I want you to call VBS." And so we called our first VBS Game Changers. And then on the back side of that VBS, Pastor David shared that we should call every VBS Game Changers, because what happens in kids and in all who volunteer that week is a game changer for them and for this community. Now, yeah, it's so awesome. Now, I don't have time to explain every detail of Game Changers, and many of you have served in the past, but there are some of you who may not be aware of what is it that makes Game Changer a game changer. And just one like quick small testimony. Larry Duran came to me last year. He said, "Brent, I really feel like God wants me to be a part of VBS, but I don't even know what VBS is. And can you explain it to me?" And so we went over it, and he did. He actually ended up being an archer. It was really, really cool. He did a great job. Kids to this day, when they see him, they're like, Larry, how's it going?" And then on the backside of VBS, Larry said, "Brent, I'm all in. I'll never not do this again. The kids blessed me so much. It was so, so wonderful." So, what makes Game Changers a game changer? I would say number one, God's presence. Impact has an anointing and a passion for God's presence. And God's presence is just powerful on this campus. Many people over the years have sowed into that in prayer. And something that makes Game Changers unique is we have an intercessory team who are praying for the kids, who are praying for our staff, who are praying for God to move powerfully, who are praying for his manifest presence. And our prayer, and this has happened, is that when kids come onto the campus, stuff comes off of them. When parents drop their kids off, parents encounter God's presence. We want God's presence to be so thick, and I believe there have been prophetic words spoken into this, and I know others have prayed into this, that when cars drive by on Goat Creek Road, they experience God's presence. And so it's a presence-driven VBS. And then worship. Worship is so, an impact has such a wonderful anointing for worship. It's so incredible. It's sometimes like hard to get up and teach because you're like, you're just so wrecked. This morning, and we get to do it week after week. And then I loved what Pastor David shared in that there's an anointing on impact, not only to worship when we gather as a corporate body, but to cultivate and live out a lifestyle of worship that brings change and transformation to homes and our community. So worship is so, so, so wonderful. And then if you can be a part of VBS, you will love it, because 400 kids on this floor pressing into God's presence, worshiping Him with everything that they have, is one of the most beautiful things I've ever gotten to be a part of. It moves you to tears. It's so incredible. And I've got many, many, many powerful testimonies and memories about various game changers throughout the years. But one of my favorite was when everything went dead. The computer went dead. The songs weren't playing. The pro presenter slides weren't working. And I don't even think the sound equipment was working. And the kids kept worshiping. It was so beautiful. And God will tell me all the time, Brent, just trust me. I've got this. I will do amazing things in those kids. And right then was a beautiful testimony of that, because everything was like not working, but God was working. He was moving. And that worship. And then the other neat thing is when you worship, those songs, they get in you. They become a part of you. And you start to sing them throughout the week and throughout your afternoon. The other day, I was taking Julia, our youngest daughter, to Trinity's Children's Day Out program. And so I'm driving her there, and I just started whistling, and I was only whistling like the first line. That's all I did, the first line of this pre-chorus of this song. And Julia says, Daddy, is that relationship song? Because the last word in that pre-chorus was relationship. And I'm like, how do you know that? She's heard the song twice in kids' church. Maybe because we're doing it for VBS, maybe Taylor's like taking it home and practiced it a little bit. I was just blown away. And then it gets better. She started to sing it and do the motions. It goes like this. This is the first line that I worshiped. I'm sorry, that I sang. I'm going to make a joyful noise. So you guys just brace yourselves. You don't want to surface relationship, you want more than this. And that goes in the chorus. Take me on a deep dive into your heart. Show me every detail, unveil all that you are. And so Julia, I mean, she's not even six yet. And that song, it captivated her heart. And it just does something. So worship is going to be absolutely, absolutely incredible. And then we come together that first half hour. All 600 of us are basically in this room, and then we start the rotations at 8:30. There are four different rotations. We have the games field, where we've got the zip line, we've got the slack line, and this year we're going to have a gaga pit, and we're also going to have archery tag, and it's really fun. The heart behind the games is give the kids an opportunity to have fun, give them an opportunity to channel that energy, encourage one another, do things that they've never done before, getting out of their comfort zone and trusting God. And then from there, they get to go to what we call the chill zone. The chill zone comprises of two parts. There's kind of a crafts area, and then there's a snack area. Now, the crafts area, we don't even call it crafts. It's art journaling, and it's really neat. And our heart is, because the kids are getting downloads from God. They're hearing from Him. And so we want them to record that, record where they are in their journey with God in their journals, and hopefully even take that discipline home. And so that's really, really cool. And then on the other side, there's the snacks. And like, I even feel like snacks doesn't adequately describe. We're talking like really yummy stuff and healthy stuff. Our snacks team, they do an incredible job in our kitchen and just getting them all out. One thing they'll make one day is monkey tails. And once you have one monkey tail, it's really hard to stop. Those are just a banana dipped in chocolate. Super, super yummy. But the point is, the chill zone is a great opportunity for the kids to connect with each other and kind of chill out. And then they come into this room for the teaching, for where they get their focus of what the day is all about and what we want to learn and what God wants to impress upon their hearts. All of that is designed to build towards one thing, and that's the encounters rotation. God is a God of encounters. God is a God of connection. Jesus paid a great price so that we can come boldly into his presence. And we can live in an awareness of his presence and where his life is inside of us and we're in dialogue with him and we're encountering him. And so encounters, there are various encounter stations that are set up and designed for kids to encounter God. And let me kind of describe kind of the heart behind that. Okay, so this is a cookie, all right? This is a cookie that I got a courtesy of Suli and her new bakery, and this is a really yummy cookie. I've actually never had one of these until yesterday. This is a chocolate chip oatmeal raisin cookie, and this is really good. Suli, if you're in the house, I don't know how you do this. This is just brilliant. So it's like a chocolate chip cookie, but it also has a little bit of nuts. And there's some oatmeal in it that adds some nice texture to it. And then the chocolate chip, forget about it. And you mix that with a raisin? Oh, this is really good. I got the best job on the planet. Hey, if any of you want one of those cookies, Suli's Bakery opens at 7 a.m. on Monday. So you can go there. They're really good. Now it's a little bit of a tease for me to eat the cookie and describe it to you. The good news is most of you can afford to get to the bakery and purchase a cookie. God's not like that. And so I'll do this illustration in front of the kids and say, do you want me to tell you how good this cookie is, or would you like to taste and see for yourself? And they're all screaming, give me the cookie. I would never do what I just did with you guys in front of 400 kids. If I did that, I would be mauled or something. I can see Sarah getting the text or the phone call. Sarah, good news, he only broke a couple of bones, but the kids are praying for him. This is what I love so much about God. God does it. There is an exchange of information. There's an exchange of knowledge. But he doesn't want us to just talk about him or know about him. He wants us to know him. He literally tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's our heart. Because when you encounter God, when you know what he thinks about you, your whole life changes. Everything can change in an instant. And God loves to do that. And that is our heart for Game Changers, that kids would encounter the one true living God. And that would be a game changer for them and for their families. So everything points to that. In addition to all of that, we have a nursery team. Victoria Kuhn heads that up, does an amazing, amazing job. So for all of those volunteers who have children who are too young to attend VBS, they're able to really attend their own VBS in the nursery. And it's right on point. It's right in line with what we're doing with the bigger kids. Matter of fact, they'll even come in here. They'll come up in that special section up there and join us for worship. They'll have their own encounters. They'll have their own age-appropriate teaching, but everybody's on the same page. And that's another thing I really love about Impact. We really are five generations working together to make it all happen. And that's what's needed for Game Changers to be effective, is five generations coming together, and that's what happens. So back to 2017 when we focused on arrows. Then in 2018, we focused on Daniel. And in August of that summer, Impact received Graham Cook's powerful prophetic word, in which he saw Impact as a resource where game changers will flourish, be renewed, upgraded, and repositioned in the kingdom. And I'm going to continue to read from this word. And he saw five generational moves of God on and through Impact. Firstly, a generation of Daniels, Esthers, Samuels, Deborahs, Calebs, and Marys emerging from birth to seventh grade. Children with all the promises of an adult generation built into their DNA. They will have a Samuel anointing. They will know God from an early age, and they will never fall away. So expect a move of God constantly. Parents partnering with the Spirit on behalf of their children to help them develop trust in the nature of God. It is going to be a presence generation able to hear God, an encouraging generation with a prophetic voice. That's an awesome prophetic word. It's a powerful prophetic word. It's one of those words where you let it sink in, and sometimes it even seems too good to be true, which almost gives it more authenticity that it's a word from God. It's a beautiful, beautiful word. So after receiving that in October, after much prayer and consideration, our Game Changers core team decided to continue with the progression of biblical champions ascribed to the youngest generation. And so that means, you know, Daniel, and the next year we did Esther, Samuel, Deborah, Caleb, and now 5 years later, we're focusing on Mary. Now, it's important to note that each of these champions of the faith were hugely instrumental in leading God's people into a new era, navigating persecution, and never compromising their trust in God, even when it wasn't popular. That and so much more can be said about Mary. Now, the challenge with focusing on Mary is kind of obvious in that how do we structure Game Changers so that it doesn't feel like a Christmas message series in June? And in one sense, that's kind of the point, in that we've all heard the story so often in the month of December that when we look at it in a different season, we may be able to see things a little more clearly, and specifically with Mary, see an amazing Game Changer and realize that her same calling to trust God completely and reveal God's heart, plan, and promise to the world is on each of our lives. But in another sense, we felt that God wanted the story of Mary to be less the focal point than the heart of Mary, her mindset, her attitude, her humility. So we're not going to take a linear approach in looking at Mary at Game Changers. So we by that I mean we won't necessarily start with the angelic visitation, the pregnancy, the birth, Jesus at age 12, Jesus' ministry, Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, ascension, and then the day of Pentecost. We may look at those things, but we're not going to so much focus on chronologically what happened as much as what was Mary's heart posture throughout all of it. Because it was her heart that remained constant through the highs and lows of everything she went through in birthing and raising the Messiah. Something that had never been done before, and something for which there was no context, there was no grid. What she went through was unprecedented. And she's the only person other than Jesus who walked the planet who was there for Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, ascension, and the day of Pentecost. No one else witnessed all of those amazing and key moments in history. And think about it for just a minute. We're all like, oh yeah, sure. If an angel came to me and told me that I was highly favored and gave me an amazing, powerful promise that God's people had been hoping for and praying for close to 1,000 years, of course I'd say yes in a heartbeat. But I think when we look at how crazy and how challenging she knew it was to carry out that promise, some of us or many of us would have answered the angel with, can I pray about it? Can you give me a sign? Or is this really from God? or God, are you sure you have the right person for the job? And then consider where she was in her life. She was engaged. She was planning her wedding. She had her plans, and God came along and gave her his plan. And she could have said no, knowing that saying yes to God was saying no to what she had on her heart. But she said yes because her heart trusted and believed in his plan more than her own. And then she kept saying yes when it got tough. God saw something in Mary's heart. He knew that he could trust her with his plan. He chose her. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God sees something in your heart. God sees something in the hearts of every child who's going to come to Game Changers in 21 days. Do you believe it? Amen. Remember what Elizabeth told Mary when she burst into her home. She told Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And remember what Jesus told his disciples and is telling you right now. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." God chose Mary. God chose you. And he chose you because he treasures you so much. He values you so much that he gave up Jesus so he could put his heart in you. He sees you and he never gave up on you. Even on your darkest day, even on your worst moment, he's never lost sight of what your created purpose is, and he's never forgotten what your life could look like when he puts his life inside of you. So at this year's Game Changers, we'll look at Mary's heart. We'll look at your heart and God's heart, his heart for you, his heart for you to know him. And our prayer is that Game Changers Week will be the beginning of a wonderful, eternal journey of exploring and experiencing the depths of God's goodness and love. It's going to be so good. It is such a beautiful thing about God. I mean, we'll never hit the limit of his goodness or the limit of his love. And we'll get to explore it for all of eternity. And because he's the God of surprises. He's the God of new things. He's infinitely creative. And so a relationship with him is just this wonderful, wonderful journey. And that's another thing we see. Obviously the theme of treasured is you're God's treasure. He's your treasure. And so there's this beautiful heart connection, but then there's this relationship, this wonderful exploration of his heart. We kind of had this vision of it's like you're on a journey and you've got a treasure map and you're exploring his heart. You're seeking him with all that you are, and he's revealing himself to you as you do that. We're his treasure, and he is our treasure. We can trust him. We can surrender ourselves completely to him, giving him our very lives. And when we do that, he births the miraculous in and through us. 4 weeks from now, we will be celebrating all that God's done in the lives of over 400 kids from our community. And like with Mary, God wants to birth the miraculous in and through the children. And God wants to birth the miraculous in and through you. You can be a part of something so much bigger than yourself. You can allow God to increase your own capacity to love and to manifest that love to children who haven't experienced the love of Christ and who haven't experienced what we experience on a regular basis here at Impact. I want you to picture yourself in this room with 400 kids worshiping God with all of their heart. Imagine God's presence so powerful and palpable that kids are forever changed, that you're forever changed. Imagine homes being healed, relationships being restored, God's kingdom truly coming to the hill country as it is in heaven. Imagine childlike faith sweeping over our community. Imagine blind eyes opening, deaf ears hearing, the lame walking, the dead being raised, and the poor hearing the good news. God wants to do that and more, and you can be a part of it. Yield to him. Surrender to him. Give your life to him. Believe that you are treasured by God and reveal that treasure to the next generation and witness firsthand the transforming power of God's love. Believe that God wants to birth the miraculous in and through you at Game Changers. Will you yield to him? It'll be challenging. It'll stretch you. It'll inconvenience you. But it'll be awesome and beautiful. Yeah. Listen to Heidi Baker's description of this as she looks at Mary in the beginning of her book, Birthing the Miraculous. People in the world sometimes abort their babies because they don't want to make the sacrifices children require. These sacrifices may seem like too great an inconvenience. The price seems too great. The church has sometimes done the same thing with the promises, prophecies, and wooings of God. We have all said yes in worship when we felt moved, but then aborted what God asked us to carry when things started to feel difficult or inconvenient. God does not like abortion. It breaks his heart because when we carry that which he placed inside us to full term, his lost sons and daughters, those he planned to reach through our laid down lives, can come home. He loves to bring in people from darkness. He loves to bring in the lost and the dying and the sick and the broken. The Lord is looking for those who are so in love with him that they will say yes when they are wooed and still say yes when great sacrifice is required. I believe Mary, as she was overshadowed by Holy Spirit, was engulfed in God's love, and might have said to herself, though this will cause me incredible pain, though this will cause my reputation to be utterly ruined, though my fiance may not understand, though my family may disown me, I will carry your promise to full term, God. I will bear the reproach because I love you. I will carry whatever you place inside of me for love's sake. What was Mary's response to a seemingly impossible promise? Yieldedness. The Lord can use anyone who will respond to him as Mary did, who says, be it unto me according to your word. He will use anyone who has a willing heart. And I believe that through intimacy with God, we can find a place of yielded love in which all fear disappears, a place in which we become willing to do anything and go anywhere for love's sake. Yeah. His plans are always better than ours. They really are. I think this sometimes. Anything worth truly living for, it's always more beautiful, even though it might look more different than you expected. Anyone who has children, They know that. It's beautiful. It's incredible. It stretches you more than you realize. When you get married, you kind of have a vision of what married life is going to be like. And then you get married, and it's different. It's a different plan than maybe what you had. But it's more beautiful than what you had imagined. God's plans are always better than ours. And no one understands better than moms all of the challenges associated with carrying a promise to its full term. My wife, Sarah, carried 3 children, and on her third, she had to go on bed rest in order to keep our youngest, Julia, into full term, and Sarah was not excited about being on bed rest. She had things she wanted to do, but she gave up those plans in order to carry Julia and birth her without complication into the world. And like Jesus references in John 16, the pain and inconvenience of pregnancy and childbirth was quickly forgotten because of the joy of the new life that had come into the world. A lot of new life from heaven is going to come into the world because of what God wants to do at this year's Game Changers. We felt from the very beginning that this year's Game Changers was going to be different in a powerful, intimate way, and we're believing that. And to make all of that happen, it takes an intentional, sacrificial, well-coordinated effort from the body of Impact. Be a part of this year's Game Changers and see God birth the miraculous in and through you. Let's stand and pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for how incredible you are. I thank you for your heart. You really, really, really are so amazing. And you're so worthy of our praise and our adoration. And words sometimes don't adequately describe just how incredible you are, how incredible your plans are, how incredible your purposes are. God, I thank you for the plans and purposes you have for Impact. I thank you that you're helping us to be the body, to be the church, and to partner with other churches. And I thank you for the plans and purposes you have for this year's Game Changers, God. We lift up all of the kids who are going to be a part of this year's Game Changers. God, I ask right now that you would be wooing them to yourself, that they would start to even have encounters and dreams and visions that maybe they won't understand, but they would know that they would have to be a part of this Game Changers VBS. Jesus, prepare the soil of their hearts to receive all that you want to place inside of them. Do what only you can do. I ask in Jesus' name, Father, that you would raise up a generation that knows you, that is wholly sold out to and committed to you, and is committed to seeing your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I lift up everyone who's going to volunteer and be a part of VBS, and even those who can't make it, but that we would all lock arms together, that we would be an army, that we would embrace your purposes, that we would get downloads from you to then share with the kids, that when the kids see us, we could say the same words that Jesus said to his disciples: if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Expand our hearts, do the impossible, birth the miraculous in and through us, that you would bring incredible transformation. And I got this image last night, and I'm getting it again. I just see arrows on fire getting released all throughout the hill country, lighting the hill country on fire. Yeah. Do it, God. Do everything that's on your heart to do. And I thank you that what's on your heart to do is infinitely more than we could ask or imagine. You are an awesome God, Father. We love you so much, and it's your Son's holy and precious name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. 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 Amen.